Guys, good morning, good morning. Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. It's good to see everybody this morning here. It's great to be here.
Yes.
It's great that we have a great and awesome and merciful God.
Yes.
Life is good, as I say from time to time, because our God is good.
Yeah, always.
Oh man, I tell you, you know, there's a lot of things happening in our world.
Yeah.
And our world is a big community, and that's what we're focusing on. We're talking about building on community during the month of August. So that's our series, but there's a lot going on in the world.
Oh yeah.
Particularly heat. It's hot.
Yes, it is.
So, you know, I like to watch documentaries and news from time to time. I like to look at stuff and like what's going on. So in the United States, Phoenix is the hottest place.
Wow.
Their temperature ranges at 118 degrees.
Not humid.
No, yeah, but you know what? The newsman said it to this lady interview. The lady said, you know what? Yeah, we got dry heat. She said 105 we can deal with, but when it comes to 118, well, no. Yeah. That's a no-no. So yeah, somebody said the same thing. She's like, 105, we can manage. 118, we can't do it. I thought about the brothers and sisters out there, and I thought of everybody. I said, well, what about the other people besides the brothers and sisters out there? That's some hot weather, man. That's some hot weather. They have one of those heat thermal guns, and he's going around scanning. He scanned the lady's steering wheel. It's 162 degrees at that steering wheel. She keeps oven mitts in the side of her door so
wow.
She can drive a car. It's like,
wow.
I said, that's hot. They the kids' playground, the little plastic slides the kids slide on, they shot that. That one was 184 degrees,
yeah.
Hot. They said, you say, yeah, nope, they say ain't nobody at the playground. They tell pet owners, do not walk your animals in the day at all. The ground is 142 hot. Ooh. It will burn the paws of your dog in 60 seconds.
Hot.
It's just hot. But they said throughout the world, it is hot. And they say, it's going to stay like this. They say, this is what's going to happen. Besides Phoenix, Arizona, Africa is at 120. But we're like, well, they're closer to the equator. They should be used to that. But it's hot. But it's one of the places that is hot. It broke a record. Is Siberia, 103.
Wow.
103 in Siberia. I said, boy, you know it's getting hot.
Yep.
It's getting hot. Mm-hmm. But you know, you have to pray for Phoenix because they say in the community there, even though people are buying ACs, the average electrical bill is $400 a month.
Average. Wow.
So people are having to choose between AC and rent.
Or yeah.
Wow.
I vote for AC.
I vote for moving. Let's just move. You know.
Yeah.
Let's just move.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm like, wow, I thought, man, the community, so much goes in a community, and people are just trying to figure it out, and they're trying to say, look, we need to get FEMA to declare this a disaster. They found out that the heat that we deal with, the heat waves that we deal with, kills more people every year than tornadoes and hurricanes and everything combined.
Mm-hmm.
It does. It kills more people. And I thought, wow. But that's hot. That's hot. But a lot of people are not going to leave Phoenix. You know, a lot of people are like, no, I'm staying. I'm going to make it there. And so, but we're talking about building community. You know, it takes a lot to build community. And you have to think about a lot of things and a lot of things are going into leading a community. And I can imagine what the leaders are dealing with there, you know, tall buildings and stuff. But building community, it is powerful. You know, community is how we connect. You know, community, it creates belonging. Our community should be a place where we know each other and accept one another on God's terms.
Amen.
God wants you to be a part of something that is bigger than you, and that is His community.
Yes, sir.
That's what God wants you to be a part of. You can turn over to Acts 11, Acts chapter 11, while you're getting there. You know, building community, man, it takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of work to build community. Get my notes right.
It does. That is a true fact.
Yeah.
You know, building community involves sharing your story. People want to know you. Got to get to know you. If you can sit in a room full of strangers, they're going to wonder, who are you? Why are you there?
Yeah.
Where are you from? What are you about? What do you do for a living? People are just curious like that. You know, your life story, your story is made up of compassion, encouragement, inspiration, comfort, anger, disappointment, depression, despair, joy, perseverance, endurance. But most of all, your story is made up of love, hope, and faith. That's your story is made of that. You know, to build community, you know, people need to know your story. They just do. I was taking Candace to a doctor appointment and met a guy. And sometimes you meet people, you just think like, oh, is that possible? An older guy came with a cane and limping where he's talking. He says, and so he starts carrying a conversation. And I love to hear people's story like, huh, this is what you're going to tell me. He said he served in the Army for 43 years. I was like, wow, that's a long time. He says, I joined back in 1951. I was 17 years old. I was like, wow. He said, back in those days after the war, they were kind of forcing you to join the Army. I said, really? He said, they were trying to force. And he says, I've seen every war except for World War II. He said, I've been to the Korean War. I've been to the Vietnam War twice. And he says, I even did Desert Storm. He said, I've seen them all. He says, I made sergeant before I was 20. He said, because they were killing so many people who died. He said, well, because I was doing this, he said, these people were just dying. So he's just telling the life story. He's telling me how, you know, he says, a lot of people don't realize the Korean War was the worst war. He says, man, just so many people died. He said, man. He said, but this is the life that I live. And I was like, wow, you have an amazing story.
Yeah.
An amazing story. He just shared a lot, seen a lot. Raised up poor. His mom didn't want him. Says grandma came and got him from Texas. His mom was giving him away to the system. Grandma came and got him, wow. Brought him back to Mississippi. He says, that's how I ended up in Mississippi.
Wow.
I was raised by my grandma, my aunts, and my uncles.
Wow.
He says, when they gave to their child, they gave to me. He said, one of the best decisions that ever happened in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Our community came and got him and said, we'll take him.
Yeah.
Mama didn't want him. Grandma came and got him. Uncles and they raised him. 43 years in the Army. Proud vet. I thought, wow,
amen.
That's an amazing story.
That is.
That's an amazing story. You know, to build community, people need to know your story. It was great hearing that man's story. He said, it will be your life story that will build a community of followers that follow God. Community begins with God. God is constantly sharing his story with you and I, believe it or not. He's constantly sharing his story. The question is, will you share your story of faith? You know, over in Acts 11, we're very familiar with this. Acts 11, verse 21, we're very familiar with this. But a lot of times when you get a chance to go back and read passages again, you learn something new. If your mind and your heart is open to God taking you just a little deeper into the Word to see something that you hadn't saw before. And I think this is amazing. Of course, this is where Barnabas is over in Antioch and the church is doing great things. But picking up in verse 21, it says, the Lord's hand was with them and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. And we all know this happens after Stephen got killed, but the gospel's still spreading. The gospel's still spreading. And it says in verse 22, news of this reached the church in Jerusalem. So the church in Jerusalem hears about what God is doing over there. A great number of people are coming to the Lord. This news is spreading. Their story is spreading. And it says, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw the grace of God, saw what the grace of God had done, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. So he gets there, comes from the church of Jerusalem. He gets there and he encouraged them. Okay, you're doing a great job. Stay faithful with all your heart. Not a part of your heart, but all your heart. He's building them up. He's building that community up. But here's the key thing. When you hear good news, that's a song, you just can't keep it to yourself.
No.
Yeah, that's right. So here's what he does. After he encourages them, in verse 24 he says, he was a good man. I'm sorry. Let me go back. He says, when he arrived there, he encouraged them all to stay true to the Lord all day. He says, he was a good man full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Then in verse 25, then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, who we know in the future would be Paul. And when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. What a powerful thing happening here.
Mm-hmm.
Barnabas said, there's so much great things that God is doing here, seeing the work of God. I got to go get Saul. I got to go get somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, man. Look, we're going to help build up this community of believers. Amen. We're going to build this community up. We're going to strengthen them. We're not going to come and take away from them, but we're going to join in what God is doing. And we're going to help this community grow. And they committed themselves for a whole year to helping that community of believers grow.
Amen.
I thought, how amazing. How amazing. What about you? Are you sharing your faith story with other people? Barnabas went and found Saul. What Antioch was doing, the word got back to the church in Jerusalem and everywhere. They said, we need to go spread this story of what this community is doing. They're having impact. They're saving lives. And the one encouragement that Barnabas had for them was, stay faithful. If you know anything about Barnabas, he's known as the son of encouragement.
Amen.
That's what we all should be, sons and daughters of encouragement.
Amen.
You know, your faith story or your story of faith, when you share it with other people, it builds people up.
Yeah.
It just builds other people. Need to be inspired and be encouraged. People need to be inspired and be encouraged. When you share your story of faith, it's amazing how it changed people's lives. I want to show a video real quick of something I saw on the news.
During the NFL offseason, Cincinnati Bengals punter Drew Chrisman has one job, keeping his legs in shape.
Thought about doing the Peloton route, but the frugal side of me just could not pull the trigger. But I found another way to get a good workout in while riding a bike.
There you go.
Doing food deliveries for DoorDash. Yes, Chrisman, who makes about $1 million a year, is spending the summer delivering food in Cincinnati, near where he lives with his wife and one-year-old.
And you could have just ridden your bike as your workout outside.
Or if I had to climb a hill to drop a Subway sandwich off to somebody, I think I found that a lot more appealing to get an extra burst of workout in.
There you go. Yeah.
While I was delivering.
Right, you too.
So what did your wife think?
She thought I was crazy.
Enjoy.
The eccentric qualities that I have a little bit, for better or for worse.
Definitely for the better. Chrisman says the bike afforded him a new perspective, traveling down roads he'd never been down before.
I love it.
You see a need.
Do you mind if I buy you a meal?
Panhandling, just asking for any kind of thing.
Yeah,
it kind of tugged at me.
So he started using his DoorDash earnings to deliver generosity with free food, cash, or sometimes just conversation.
Working hard, hardly working.
They seeing that smile, seeing, you know, their face light up. No one's ever regretted, you know, making someone else's day.
Amen.
He posts it all on social media, hoping to spread both the spirit of giving.
When he called, we had no idea it was Drew, the kicker from the Bengals, our favorite team.
And the word about local businesses like your mom's pizzeria. Owners Tracy and Pete Iani say sales jumped 25% after Drew posted himself giving away their pizza.
Wow. You know, he's giving it to people that maybe didn't have money to buy lunch. And then in return, our small business has now been thriving.
There's a stereotype of professional athletes as maybe being pampered or overpaid.
That is not true in all cases. Not with our Drew. He is just a down-home, good human.
I love how you call him our Drew.
Our Drew. We love our Drew.
Where does that urge to give back come from?
I think a lot has to do just kind of how I was raised. A lot of credit to my parents. Thought being a Cincinnati Bengal was going to fulfill everything in my life. Part of me missed that, a little bit of that charitable side. And I love football. I like football, but I love giving back. I love helping people.
And as he jumps into training camp, he'll be fighting to make the cut.
You're defending your spot on the team. What do you say to critics who might argue that this is all a publicity stunt?
People are going to try to pick apart anything you try to do. I've certainly received a lot more support than I have any kind of criticism.
What do your teammates say about all this?
You know, kind of chuckle, like, wonder what kind of tip they would leave, honestly.
You, Valentina? Die.
You once gave a big tip to someone who wasn't expecting one at all.
You make the majority of the money off the tip.
I know, I put $0 on the tip.
Being able to leave it.
Amen, guys. Community.
Amen.
That guy could be doing anything. He a millionaire. He could, most people are like, I'm going to the gym. I'm not riding no bike. But he says, you know what? Charity in my heart. His life story. Ain't that something?
Yeah.
Giving to the community. DoorDash. I'm doing it to keep my legs in shape, but every money that I earn, I give it back to the people in need. Mm-hmm. Your life story could change somebody's life. Mm-hmm. Are you sharing your life story? Your story of faith, your story of action. Mm-hmm. You know, share your faith story to remind the weary of God's faithfulness, God's love. You see, your faith is not just about you. It's about God working in you to build up the church and to help those who are in need and to help people draw closer to God. Mm-hmm. How you live is a testimony of who you are and what you are. You know, Sharice and I'm Sharice's advocate. It's great to, I love being an advocate. It's great to have an advocate. And so went to the VA and had a chance to talk to some people there trying to get some things worked out. And this lady I met a while back, she said, well, if they can't do this, and you know, if anybody tell you they can do this, they can't do this, and you let me know. So if anybody know me, I will come back and see you. So we go upstairs, we're talking to Sharice's doctors, and they're telling me something. I'm like, the VA ain't gonna pay for that. I know that. I just talked to the lady, and I know they're not going to pay for that. Oh, they'll pay for it. That's going over there. They'll pay for it. So I go right downstairs and see that lady. I say, hey, how you doing? This is what this guy told me. This neurosurgeon told me. And she looked at me. I said, hey, I know. But that's what he told me. You know, but the biggest thing out of that was the lady said, she looked, and Sharice was sitting behind me. And she said, you know what? And they say, men are not good. She looked at Sharice and said, you are lucky. You are lucky. And she said, look at her, she's blushing. But the life story there is the lady sees me working hard. She sees my faith, trying to get some justice for Sharice everywhere I can, trying to understand the system. People need to see your life story because it impacts you. It impacted that lady. She's like, I can't believe you're going through all this trouble to do this for your wife. She found that shocking. But that shouldn't be shocking.
No.
Every man should be fighting for their spouse, and every woman should be fighting for their spouse.
That's right.
But it's shocking. She told Tree, she told my wife, she said, you got lucky.
Amen.
Ain't that something?
She got Christ.
Faith.
Amen.
Your faith story is not only meant to be shared in words, but people need to see the action in your life.
That's right.
They need to see what you're doing. Anybody can talk a good game.
Yeah.
But it's about those who put the work in. And that's what we're looking for there. You know, guys, we're going to flip on over here to the next page to get my pages right. Colossians 3:12. Building community. People need to see it in your life. They need to see it lived out. They need to see you walking it, not just talking about it. And people do like to talk about all the great things that we're doing. And it's okay to share things that you're doing. But let them see it. I'm not saying you're like, oh, let me go do this deliberately so they can see me doing it. But you need to be living a life just such that people see, wow, look at what they are doing. That people take notice. You know, over in Colossians, I love this address to the church in Colossians, but it's also an address to us. And we need to hear this. You know, Barnabas, he mentored Mark. In a community, we need to mentor people. We just do. Communities need to have mentors, people to look up to. And as we get older, we still need to be mentored. I still need people in my life. Community. Community means that we're connected, we're talking, we're learning to lean on one another, and we're learning to be open. I tell you, one of the scariest things about us as we seem to get older, we seem to get more closed off.
Mm-hmm.
It just does. I don't know what it is. People say old age or whatever, but you know what? I don't know if it's old age, but we have to fight against that, especially in the kingdom of God. We can't be closed off. But a lot of times we're afraid to trust people with certain things about us. I don't want them to know that. And you would think you've been around for a long time, be like, I should be okay. Jesus, Lord, they're not Lord. I mean, you know, they're going to the doctor like I'm going to the doctor. They're getting medicated like I'm getting medicated. So why am I worried about what they're going to do? We've got to learn to be more open. We got to build community through mentorship. Through mentorship. We need to mentor one another, and we need to mentor the generation behind us. You know, over in Colossians chapter 3, starting in verse 12, it says, therefore, as God's chosen people, it's great to be chosen, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as a member of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your heart. And whatever you do, and I mean whatever you do, whether in word or in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the God, the Father, through him. Amen. What a powerful message. You know, Barnabas, he mentored Mark. Paul mentored Timothy and Titus. And those are famous ones we know, but he also has Silas in his life. And Jesus mentored the 12. Especially close walk with Peter, John, and James. I don't know if you ever looked at those three guys, but you would think, why would he mentor those three guys? Two of those guys were sons of thunder. You was going to feel the brimstone. You were going to feel the fire. You were going to feel the thunder and the fire with two of them. And one of them was just so spontaneous. They wanted to control everything. Jesus picks the strangest people to lead his community, to lead the kingdom of God. Yeah. It's just people we wouldn't pick. I don't care if it's in the church or in the business world. Like, nah. But Jesus said, nah, the sons of thunder, they're the right guys. Oh, that Peter, that joker, stay in trouble. He's the right guy. I'm going to give him the keys. We'd be like, you giving who the keys? Who the keys? Jesus, I don't think you know what you're doing. But he gave Peter the keys. You know, mentorship, it is a powerful thing. Mentorship involves training, coaching, and guiding. When babies come into the kingdom of God out the water, they need training, they need coaching, and they need guiding. But as they mature, like a lot of us are maturing in the word in here, we still need some guidance too. And in order to mentor people, you got to put on the right clothes. Mm-hmm. You got to put on the right clothes. And those clothes have nothing to do with you. An outerwear. Yeah. To mentor somebody, you've got to have some compassion. Yeah. You've got to be wearing some compassion. Now, we all deliver compassion in a different way, but it should have the same effect. People should feel and want to come back to you after they've had a taste of your compassion.
Come on.
We need to deliver mentorship and kindness. Amen. We got to be kind to people. Even when people are not kind to you or they don't appreciate it. Because we've heard this said before, and some of us may have done this before. I gave to them and they didn't appreciate it. That would be the last time I do anything for them. Uh-oh. And you know, God's looking like, I don't know what the issue is here. God said, I forgive. I constantly forgiving. And you constantly keep messing up over and over intentionally. Kindness, no matter how people receive your kindness.
That's right.
Kindness. And if they're not meant to receive your kindness anymore, God will remove them out of your way. God said, okay, that's not your job. Let me move them out the way. Your job is to give kindness. You know, he talks about humility. Oh man, mentorship, humility. We like to tell people, you're being prideful. You ever think sometimes maybe you're the prideful one? If you're going to teach somebody about humility, don't you need to display the humility that they need to learn from? Amen. Shouldn't they be looking at humility from you? Instead of you coming and saying, well, you're just prideful. Shouldn't they be seeing it from you or hearing it from you or sitting in your action? A lot of times people are going to imitate what they see.
That's right.
Mentorship requires honesty. Gentleness. There are times when we just have to be gentle with people. Just do. No matter how bad they messed up, no matter how bad it is, this is not this time to lay into you about how wrong you are. Let's be gentle. Mm-hmm. Let's love you. There'll be time to correct you later on, or there'll be time to address that issue. Yeah. Gentleness. Because we all stumble, and we all have stumbled hard in life. We've done things like, Lord, I wish I didn't have that part of my life.
Right.
We've done that. Mentorship involves, here's this word here, buddy, patience.
Yeah.
I think Adam said something about that earlier. Patience. Adam, you're not, look, brother, you're not the first. You're just getting in line. That's all it is. A lot of us, patience. If you think you are not patient, a lot of us love instant coffee. I know, they say, ew, now, but in the early days when you had to get to work, instant coffee was working. But when life slowed down, I agree with them. All right, look, man, this is better. I don't know what I was thinking about earlier. But society was just pushing you. I got to just have what they're giving me. Patience. When you're mentoring one another, they should see patience in you. They should see patience. Even if you don't like what they're doing, how they're doing it, they're not receiving this right, why they're not listening to me. Oh, patience. Patience. Time is on our side, and then at times it's not. But we need to be like God. Be patient with the people that we are mentoring and let it work itself out. And I love this. He says we need to bear with each other.
Yes.
And he says, we need to imitate Jesus. We need to forgive one another like he forgave us.
Amen. Yes.
And he didn't say sometime. He said, that's an ongoing thing.
That's what he said.
That's an ongoing thing.
Yeah.
He says, you need to imitate your Lord, your Master.
Right.
You need to be forgiven always. Even if it means I got to go wrestle with this thing. I got to go home and wrestle. I got to go in the room by myself and throw some pillows around or whatever. I don't know. I know some of the brothers here shoot. I got to go to a target range. I just got to go shoot off a couple of guns. Amen. Amen. How much these bullets cost? All right, I only can get a case because these bullets are expensive, but I'm going to go rattle off. Whatever it takes for you to get to that point to say, okay, now I'm ready to go forward and do this process of forgiving. Some things we forgive quickly. We just do, and that is great. And everything needs to be forgiven quickly. But sometimes there's something that just it's tugging at you, and you're like, I got to work through this. I can't let it sit there.
Yeah.
I can't, because it will fester and consume me.
Yes.
And then I'll become somebody I don't like.
That's right.
And I will become somebody that God don't like. Mm. Mentorship. The person you're mentoring need to see that you are setting the example. You are setting the bar. The bar ain't that high. No, it's not.
No.
The bar is not that high. Mm-hmm. You just got to practice the things that God has put us in. And I love this. God said, and guess what? God said, and if you get all these things right, then you will have that one key thing that we talk about, love. He says, because love binds them all together in perfect unity. So if one of those key things are out of place, you're not wearing one of those specific clothings, there's no unity. There's no unity there within the other things that God says, guess what? This is what it looks like to be a disciple. This is what it looks like to be a mentoring person.
Yes.
All of these things got to be working. And if they are, love's going to bind all those virtues together in unity.
Praise God.
You know, you got to ask yourself, man, do you love being a mentor? Do you love being mentored?
Mm-hmm.
We like to give orders, but sometimes we don't like taking orders. How hypocritical is that? We've all practiced that from time to time. But peace be to our God, who is a graceful God and a merciful God, and knows us better than anyone else, and say, you know what? You're going to get this right.
Mm-hmm.
And you're only going to struggle as long as you want to struggle, right, until you make a decision to turn the corner and say, okay, we're going to do this God's way. We got to build community through mentorship. The people that we're mentoring, they have to see it in you. Everything that you're going to preach out of the Word of God, out of the Bible, they have to see this in you. And when it's something that you don't understand or you struggle with and it don't make sense, guess what you need to do? Get in your Bible and let me start researching there. Allow God's word to interpret God's word. I love commentaries. They're great. I love outside things. They're great. But allow God's word to do what it's always been doing. Interpret itself. That's and right. Give you the clarity that you're looking for. Allow it to do that. Is not every baby Christian a spiritual child that would need training to function in the church
That's
community?
Right. That's right.
That's why for those of us who are older and wiser, and God's going to bring in a lot of young folks who's going to be looking to us, mm-hmm. looking for guidance. We're going to have to practice a part of Proverbs 22:6 from a spiritual point of view. Train a child in the way she should go, in the way they should go. Yeah. We're going to be practicing that.
Yep.
Because literally, when they come to church and they decide to make Jesus Lord of their life, they are a spiritual baby.
Yep.
They are but a child. We got the training. And even for Adams, Thompson, Cobain, and Parnay, guess what? They've got years on them. They're going to be training some of these young people. And these young people are going to be looking to those young people. To be a great mentor, you got to make sure you're wearing the right clothes at all times.
That's right.
At all times. And make sure that you're practicing love, because love is what's going to put them all together.
That's right.
Amen, guys. Finally, guys, we're going to close out here over Psalms. Building community. You have to share your life story. That's how you build community. Share your life story. We're going to turn to Psalms 148. Building community involves being a mentor. You know, I love the time that we shared with Skyway. It is so great. We're building something great. I feel like there's a community being built there with those guys. And they love it. It's great. And they go out of their way. Every time we get it, they go out of their way, which I think is, I don't know, they may not be out of their way, but they always ask me, who can we pick from your church to serve in this capacity? They are always offering that. They say, no, this joint service, you guys need to be involved. And now, like, that is so cool. I don't ask them, hey, can we be involved in a lot of things? They like, hey, we want somebody to do this. Who can you get to help? Man, but it's because of the way we're connecting with them. It's because of we're going over there having time with them. And they love the singing. They said, we're so glad when you guys come over. The singing sounds good. Everything. I'm like, yeah, it sounds good to me too. Because, you know, when you get, you know, all of us together, I think we had about like 70 people there this Sunday.
Really?
And it's like, just the voices all were lifted up. But they were all so encouraged. Now, some of them inquired, wanted to know, was Jack a traveling evangelist?
Yeah.
I didn't know how to answer that, but I wanted to say, yeah, he probably is. yeah, traveling evangelist. But they were truly inspired by the relationship. They're looking forward to continue to be in a relationship. And one of the great things, they love the fact that we're sticking with them and doing this. They've done this with other churches before, and it didn't last. But they love the fact that we're willing to come over every 2 months and hang out. And I think that's great. Building community. You know, to build community, it takes love to execute. To build community with each other, you know. It just really takes a lot of that. But Psalms 148, finally, to build community, we have to realize community is built through God and by God and with God. God is the author and the originator of creating community. And over in Psalms 148, and I'm starting verse 1, it says, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights above. Praise him, all the angels. Praise him, all his heavenly host. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens and you waters above the skies. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for at his commands they were created, and he established them forever and ever. He issued a decree that would never pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all ocean depths. Lightning and hail, snow and clouds, you mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and all cattle, small creatures and flying birds, kings of the earth and all nations, you princes and all rulers of the earth, young men and women, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord. For his name alone is exalted. His splendor is above the heavens and the earth. God is the creator of community.
Yes.
I don't know if you got all that in there. But what is this community that God created? He said the heavens. Wow. The angels. Wow. The sun, the moon, the shining stars, the waters, the skies, the earth, sea creatures, the ocean's depth, lightning, hail, snow, clouds, winds, mountains, hills, trees, animals, wild animals, cattle, birds, kings, leaders and rulers, which would include presidents and whoever you want to name, congressmen, whatever, rulers, young and old men and women. Wow. That's a serious community created. That is a serious community of things created. Man, we could only dream or wish to be able to create a lot of things like that. In God's community, not only did he create all these things inside of it, but he gave all these things a place to live. He created this earth for communities to dwell throughout. He said he created the heavens, which is above the universe. You can't build community without God. You just can't. You cannot build community without God.
That's right.
You can't have community without God.
Amen.
There would be no community if God had not decided to say, you know what? I'm going to create some things. I'm going to create some things, and I'm going to create some caregivers and some caretakers to take care of these things. Wow. If he ever wanted to see a roadmap, or you ever wanted to see something, a layout or a punch list of how to create community, take a note from God. Take a note from God. God said, first of all, we need to create a habitable place for those who are created in my image.
Amen.
To live on.
Yes.
We need to create a food source. And then we're going to give it all to them. And prayerfully, they will take care of it. God is the creator of community. God is the greatest example of what creating a community should look like. What are we going to do going forward here? We have an opportunity that's coming up in this month where, God willing, we're going to have some young folks in here.
Amen.
Now to us, I think we're all young as far as I'm concerned. Until you decide you want to get in a foot race with me, and I'm about to let you win that. I might have to tell Sharice I need to borrow her chair. She needs to get out so I can turn that thing on high. She's always giving me a hard time. She's like, you always turn that thing on high. Let's see how fast this thing can go. Let's see what it can do, you know. That's me. I know that's me. I'm like, let's see what this thing can do. Sharice is like, let's see what, you know. Yeah, watching too much Fast and Furious. Let's see. You know, I'd be thinking like, we could get this thing to do something. But, you know, we're going to have a great blessing here. God's going to bless us. These young kids have a good opportunity to see us.
Yes.
To see the church family. To get a chance to fellowship with us. God has given us an opportunity to impart wisdom, to impart knowledge, to impart impact on them. God has given us an opportunity to get our clothes right. Maybe some of us got to go in our spiritual closet and dust off our compassion shirt. Let me put some of this on. I'm going to need some of this when they get here. Maybe some of us need to go in our closet and dust off our cloak or our coat of humility. Ooh, this thing ain't been used in a while. Let me shake this off. God's giving us the chance to say, look, opportunity is coming. Opportunity is coming. We have a chance to build with these young folks. We have a chance to build community. Every one of us. Now, Adams and Cobains and Thompson and Parnie, yeah, they're going to be on the front line. They're going to be there with them. But these young folks, they're going to need us also.
That's right.
You know, so.
Everyone.
And our young adults are going to need us also to be there. They're going to need all of us. So let's make sure, in order to build this community successfully, let's get clothed right. Let's get our mind right.
Amen.
Let's get our hearts right. Let's be prepared to love these young folks. And as we're loving these young folks and young folks are going through studies, I want to say this to you. God knows when their time is up on this earth. But as far as we're concerned, they got a whole school year. We got a whole school year to build with them. Understand? And we could be anxious, like, they got to be in the water now. We got a whole school year to build with them to impact. And some of them are going to be like, hey, I'm ready now. Some of them will be like, oh, I'm not sure, I'm not sure. And it's okay.
That's right.
But we want to love them. We want to love them. So be ready to, like, hey, do lunch with somebody. Campus kids love lunch. You know what? I got some witnesses over here can testify to that. They'll take free lunch. I got witnesses sitting here. They'll take free food now. They ain't going to turn that down. Oh, you buying what we eat? Now, you may can't eat what they eat. Some of us, we know better. I can't eat that fast food. So you better dictate where you're going to go eat at. But you have an opportunity to impart, get to know them, guys, to help build the community in this church. To build the community here, it's going to require you sharing your life story. It's going to require you, hey, being comfortable with being a mentor. And also, it's going to require you to remember, God is the author and creator of the community. Amen. And I'm going to learn to build community the way God built community.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, guys, it's going to be end of service. Guys, we're going to do one thing found here. We're not going to sing a song. I talked to Richard. I want to pray for the Raymonds here. Before they get head out, I'm going to ask, Miss Nora, can you indulge me, ma'am? Need to get Richard.